जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जना भला भागिरी वरधारी गोपी जना भला भागिरी वरधारी जसर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जसर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना ब्रज जन रंज यमुना तेरा वनचारी यमुना चेरावनाचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जसर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना जसर नंदना ब्रज जन रंजना यमुना चेरावनाचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस परिविदकाचार्य अष्टचरसत श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की जय नेताय गो प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग इज देयर अ वर्स रिटन ऑन अ बोर्ड समवेयर ओह देयर इट इज वाओ कूल ओके Well, can we go to text 35? Whoever's doing that one. Okay, because that's the one that has the purport. Who's doing it? Where is it? Wow, technology. Gee.
part of the No Gap program.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shukro Tanaradaya So Putra Shoka Vimurchitaha Devarshim Upalabhyaya Roshad Vishpuratadharaha Shukro Tanaradaya So Putra Shoka Vimurchitaha Devarshim Upalabhyaya Roshad Vishpuratadharaha Shukrodhadaradaya So Putra Shoka Vimurchitaha Devarshim Upalabhyaya Roshad Vishpuratadaraha Mataji's, please. Shukro Tanaradaya So Devarshim Upalabhyaya Roshad Vishpuridhadharaha Shukroda became very angry. Naradaya at the great sage Narada Muni. Asau that one Daksha Putrashoka due to lamentation for the loss of his children. Vimurchitaha, almost fainting. Devarshim, the great sage, Devarshi Narada. Upalabhya, seeing. Aha, he said. Roshat, out of great anger. Vispurita, trembling. Adaraha, whose lips. It's hard to read this sentence because Narada Muni is being offended. Here we go. When he heard that the Shabalashvas had also left this world to engage in devotional service, Daksha was angry at Narada. And he almost fainted due to lamentation. When Daksha met Narada, Daksha's lips began trembling in anger, and he spoke as follows. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that Narada Muni had delivered the entire family of Swayambhuva Manu, beginning with Priyavrata and Uttanapada. He had delivered Uttanapada's son Dhruva and had even delivered Prachini Bhari, who was engaged in fruitive activities. Nevertheless, he could not deliver Prajapati Daksha. And there's a good reason why. Prajapati Daksha saw Narada before him because Narada had personally come to deliver him. Narada Muni took the opportunity to approach Prajapati Daksha in his bereavement because the time of bereavement is a suitable time for appreciating bhakti yoga. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:16, four kinds of men. Artha, one who is distressed. Artharthi, one who is in need of money. Jigyasu, one who is inquisitive. And Jnani, a person in knowledge. Try to understand devotional service. Prajapati Daksha was in great distress because of the loss of his sons, and therefore Narada took the opportunity to instruct him regarding liberation from material bondage. And flipping back to 32, because 32 through 34 have no purports, so I'll just read the translation for them. This is a different experience. Instead of the audience focused on the speaker, they're focused on the... Anyway, here we go. 32. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "O best of the advanced Aryans, after saying this much to the sons of Prajapati Daksha, Narada Muni, whose merciful glance never goes in vain, left as he had planned. The sons of Daksha followed their elder brothers. Not attempting to produce children, they engaged themselves in Krishna consciousness. The Savalashvas took to the correct path, which is obtainable by a mode of life meant to achieve devotional service, or the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like knights that have gone to the west, they have not returned, even until now." Text 34. At this time, Prajapati Daksha observed many inauspicious signs, and he heard from various sources that his second group of sons, the Savalashvas, had followed the path of their elder brothers in accordance with the instructions of Narada. And then this one. Chukroda Naradaya sau putra shoka vimorchitaha devarshim upalabhyaha roshad vispuratadaraha. When he heard that the Savalashvas had also left this world to engage in devotional service, Daksha was angry at Narada. He almost fainted due to lamentation. When Daksha met Narada, Daksha's lips began trembling in anger, and he spoke as follows. Jnana Timarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshuri Viditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam. When
Lakshmi Nisringh was speaking about the old days, something flashed through my mind, especially in anticipation of this verse for this morning. I remember, as I'm sure many of the devotees in the room remember, when volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam and volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita would come out and we would go out and distribute fourth canto, part 3, and Madhya Leela, volume 7, and you know, people would look at the thing and say, part 3, canto 4, what's... And we would say, Prabhupada would, as Prabhupada said, like ice cream. From you lick on one side of the ice cream cone and the other side of the ice cream and it's the same. It's very sweet. That was the answer we gave. It's the answer that I gave. You read this one and you want to lick on the other side of the ice cream. Let me tell you what's inside. So canto by canto, or parts of cantos by parts of cantos, were distributed, but when it came to instructing the BBT to reprint in huge quantity, not just volume by volume, it was first canto part 1, second canto part 1, and sixth canto part 1. Those were the quantity distribution items. And because this sixth canto, those cantos contain essences that are really important in the whole of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or our presentation of Krishna consciousness. First canto, because it summarizes the whole Srimad Bhagavatam's message. And the second canto, it's first step in God realization, Lord in the heart, pure devotional service. And questions, further questions and answers by Maharaj Parikshit and Sukadeva Goswami. The sixth canto, because it contains the theology of the holy name. Very important. Those first three chapters, the Ajamila story. And the Ajamila story, I'll get to the fifth chapter very quickly. The Ajamila story is an answer to a question that's another very important theological question. The important theological question is, how, what can be done to help people from having to suffer due to sinful lives, sinful actions? It's a standard theological question. People sin, what to do about that sin and the reaction for the sin? And different theologies are built upon answering that question. The Bhagavatam does it in an exquisite way, of course, by preceding with a description of the structure of the universe. There are 10 topics in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and one of those is sthanam, how the planets are situated within creation. And after presenting the structure of the universe, it ends with the hellish planets, and naturally hearing about the hellish planets, being very compassionate because he's a great soul, Maharaj Parikshit wants to know what can be done to prevent souls from having to glide down to that hellish region and suffer so terribly. What can be done? And the answer that's given by Shukadeva Goswami is a three-part answer. He gives Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, and Bhagavad Dharma. Different theologies present Karmakanda answer, and then there's divisions according to the Karmakanda particulars, and Gyanakanda particulars according to their divisions. They're rejected due to being insufficient. And Bhagavad Dharma is then proclaimed as the means not only for counteracting the reactions to sins, but for uprooting even the tendency by awakening the natural tendency of the soul, the tendency of loving devotional service to the personality of Godhead. And what I'm doing is just like a little overview to lead us into this topic. To illustrate that point, he explains the Ajamila story. Even that devotional service, that's abhas bhakti, that's sufficient to destroy all the reactions and even tendencies. So he tells the Ajamila story, and then we hear, you know, a three-part harmony. The Vishnu Dutas speak, Lord Yamaraj speaks, and Shukadeva Goswami again speaks the same message about the glories of bhakti, the glories of the holy name, Namabhas and Abhas Bhakti, as how powerful it is. So what the rest of the canto lays out is examples of that principle. What we have here is, in principle, Daksha and Narada. Daksha is Daksha. He's expert. And what is he expert in? Fruit of activities, Karmakanda. He's got it down. And there's some spirit of devotion in him too, because when his Daksha program wasn't good enough, he left his position to go to the secluded place and execute penances and austerities and his Hamsa Guhya prayers, and Lord Vishnu came. Lord Vishnu was very pleased with Daksha. He knew precisely what Daksha's program was. I want to enjoy program. That was his program. But there was also some spirit of do this as service to Lord Vishnu, so he accepted the for Lord Vishnu part and made an arrangement so he could produce the very, very qualified praja, because previously it was demigods. Then he had the opportunity to produce even more qualified praja. And he did. 10,000 and then 1,000. And Narada came, and Narada, first, he examined them, especially the Haryashvas. He presented some enigmatic puzzle, and they immediately understood fruit of activities is not where we want to go. Devotional service alone is where we want to go. That's what we've understood from Narada. Okay, I'm signing up for my bhakti program. You passed the exam. And with the Savalashvas, it's even easier. Just follow your brothers. Even they had been, Daksha had warned them, watch out for Narada. Don't do the same thing. So they transgressed that advice of their father because of the influence of Narada. As the verse says, the Narada whose merciful glance never goes in vain, simply by examining the Haryashvas and Savalashvas, he prepared them for pure devotional service. Now, so Narada, stepping back from the whole narration, Narada represents unmixed devotional service. Daksha represents karmakanda activity mixed with some idea of devotion to Lord Vishnu. We could say karma mishra bhakti or something like that. Or even further away, karmakanda. Because the insults that he's about to hurl at Narada are right on target with karmakanda. Basically, one has to pass through, one has to go through a whole series of suffering in material existence by following religious principles enough to realize that's not going to work to bring the real happiness that one wants, and then one can give it up. And you've cheated my sons. You've deprived them of that opportunity to suffer through karmakanda activities and the gradual, ever so gradual process. And you've simply put them in saffron robes without that eligibility first. So you're speaking on behalf of Dharma, but you're speaking a Dharma, so I curse you. Because of his strong faith in karmakanda. So the personality, as Prabhupada expresses in the purport, the personality that Narada is he's just compassionate. Narada, the purport explains, has delivered the whole of Swayambhuva's descendancy. So, just going back to the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's one of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. Just as Sthanam, the structure of the universe. So also describing the Manus and the lineage coming from the Manus. So in the third canto, it's Swayambhuva Manu appears. And one of the daughters of Swayambhuva Manu, Devahuti, and mention is there is also of Akuti and Prasuti, and there, but most focus goes on Devahuti. Then Uttanapada, the second son, and Dhruva and his lineage, and with that comes the Priyavrata story, following in that line. So Narada is just the deliverer and deliverer and deliverer. And one of the things I especially appreciate about Narada, well, two things. One is he's not a cookie cutter preacher. He really, he just designs things perfectly suited for each person that he speaks to. What he did with Prachini Bari was just wonderful. Because Prachini Bari was also attached to fruitive activities, as was Daksha attached to fruitive activities. But the approach was a very different approach. Because Prachini Bari didn't have enviousness or enmity in his heart. Daksha did. And this is Daksha part two. Because Daksha part one is the one who lost his head by offending Lord Shiva. In this canto it describes Daksha was so proud that when he lost his head and had a goat's head put on instead, he died of shame. So although he was relieved of the reaction for offending Lord Shiva by having his head cut off, his heart did not become pure. This is part of the theme of the whole canto and part of the theme of the Bhagavatam. Karmakanda, as discussed in the first chapter of the sixth canto, it can have the effect of eradication of prarabdha karma. That is what is manifesting now. But the aprarabdha, kuta, and bija karma, it's still just waiting. Tendency remains, is the idea. And Daksha part one, tendency, showed up in Daksha part two. Tendency to be envious of those who, of Narada Muni and Lord Shiva and persons who represent purity. The tendency of those who are attached to fruitive activities, even religious fruitive activities, is vision of the personality of Godhead is at least obscured, if not blocked. And one who cannot see the personality of Godhead cannot see the path to the personality of Godhead, and one becomes very proud of whatever one's situation is and becomes very well defensed to maintain it and establish it, maintain it, and get others out of the way that don't support it. Envious spirit is, envy and pride are such enemies of elevation and purity. So karmakanda doesn't rid one's heart of such things. That's the message. Although he was, Daksha was so elevated that Lord, when the Prajetas, who were the sons of Prachinibari, came out of the sea where they were doing their meditation, and they began destroying all the forests and vegetation, that wonderful, that's not here, the wonderful painting Pushkar made of that one. And so Soma, the moon god, came and very gently said, you know, this isn't appropriate. Yes, clear some land so there's agricultural opportunity for society, but you don't have to destroy every tree and every growing thing. Stop, stop, stop. So submissive to Soma, they stopped. And then he awarded them with one wife from whom they could produce good children. From what the one good child was Daksha, part two. So Daksha, part two, is in the same lineage of Uttanapada and his sons, his generations of offspring. But he had the same mentality as Daksha, part one. He had strong desire to produce, he was a Prajapati, both. And strong enmity towards those that held the position of pure devotion. And a willingness to make severe offenses. But on the other side is Narada. Narada, Prabhupada says explicitly in the purport, he came specifically to stand before Daksha and let Daksha know the good news. Your sons just joined my bhakta ashram. Aren't you happy? And he knew exactly what Daksha's spirit would be. He came, I mean, think about it. If we were in the situation, somebody joins the Hare Krishna movement and you go to visit the parents, you know what their disposition is going to be. And if we had not just the nerve, but the purity to know, I mean, Narada has the purity to know that he can deliver that person. He knew that he would be seriously insulted. He didn't mind. He knew that he would be, Narada has this capacity to know these things. Just like when he's speaking to Dhruva, he told Dhruva what would happen before it happened in detail. So Narada knew, but this is the emphasis in the purport. Narada came specifically to deliver Prajapati Daksha because he was really tough case. Tough case not just because he had gone astray, but he was very, very deeply attached, very proud and envious. And that's a tough call for someone who's trying to give devotional service to others. At the end of the cursing, also he stayed. He stayed because, Prabhupada explains, after he had vented his anger had subsided, and then it was an opportunity. So this is he stayed. And then he discussed higher principles with Daksha. He wasn't fazed, he wasn't hurt or anything like that by what Daksha had said or done. So it's a one lesson for preachers of Krishna consciousness is when those situations of reversal come in life, like calamity or death or some tribulation of some kind, devotees have a very important role to play in those situations. It's like pastoral counseling. It's given nice words, but it's a time when people turn their attention to God. And devotees have to be ready for that. It's like our calling in society. You know, look at the Varnashram picture. And those that have the sense of what to do when duality comes too strongly this side or that side, the devotee is one who can stay fixed on the purpose of life. So it's a great opportunity. Bear it in mind in the course of the unfolding events of your life. Reversals, Prabhupada calls it. Unexpected reversals of life. It's your devotee antenna should go up and think, okay, what is the appropriate thing in this circumstance, not just to go rush in and give them a Bhagavad Gita class. Maybe that's appropriate, but more likely some other kind of particular to the situation, how to bring in the contact with that which is eternal, that which is sublime and very satisfying to the heart. Because in those moments, even there may be some anger, as Daksha is expressing, it opens the opportunity for bringing transcendence into that situation. And because other times it's just business as usual and people say, sorry, I'm too busy, or whatever it is. It just doesn't have the impact. And this is the nature of a personality like Narada Muni. Is their interest is not for themselves. Their interest is how to assist others to come to that position where their shelter in transcendental life. So just a little preview. The verse is coming. It's karmakanda, pride, and envy in a nutshell. He has his arguments, he has his conviction. Everyone carries some conception of life because everyone has a mind. And within the mind there's some conception, just as wind carries aroma. The mind carries a conception of life. And the nature of pious people is they also have intelligence that can fortify that conception of life, and they're well defensed. So he's doing it. Narada's not disturbed. Narada wants one thing. This soul should become closer to Krishna. So this is... a prelude to this important offense that when the words were spoken to Narada, that the curse was, you won't be able to stay in any one place for more than a few days. Narada was thinking Haribol, life of sannyas. Don't stay any one place more than a few days. And of course, Prabhupada says, I have been cursed like that. And I'm transferring the curse to you, my sannyasis, to not stay in one place for more than a few days. You can travel so I can sit and do my translation work on Srimad Bhagavatam. More persons can come to a life of pure devotion that way. More of the Narada Muni program. But it's not only for itinerant sannyasis, it's for anyone who can assist in the mission of giving this message of Srimad Bhagavatam to others. There are a lot of things I want to say, but the time doesn't permit. So I'll just end with this. Lakshmi advised me to allow time for questions. We have a roaring 3 minutes. Chaturatma, your hand went up first. called the device is the advice of Srimad Bhagavatam. The advice of Srimad Bhagavatam is, I'll see if I can quote or at least paraphrase what Prabhupada was describing in a verse I was reading yesterday. See if I can. If one can understand that everything comes from God, aham sarvasya prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate, everything comes from God, everything comes from Krishna, then my duties in life as a householder, dealing with this creation, it's an opportunity to practice a life of devotion so that I can enter into the kingdom of God. If one doesn't have that understanding, the default position is this is an opportunity for enjoyment. So we'll go back to the other side. If we can understand it's an opportunity to practice conducting all activities for the satisfaction of Krishna, then it's an opportunity provided for one who is a Sakkama Bhakta to become a Nishkam Bhakta. Although Sakkama Bhakta, it's an opportunity. So there's the big if. If I can see the connection that things have come from Krishna, he's providing me with an opportunity to practice entering into the eternal. The good news is there's an eternal place. And this is the temporary place. And if I think the temporary place is romper room, it's time to enjoy, then it's entanglement. So I have to beware of that tendency to enjoy, but withdraw consciousness from there, invest consciousness in the path that leads me back home, back to Godhead. This is an opportunity to practice the life that is eternal. So I have to enter into the spirit of working for Krishna, performing my occupational duties for Krishna, carrying out the duties of family life for Krishna, caring for my wife and children and civic duties and all other for the satisfaction of Krishna. There are things that are from which I derive strength: worship of the deity, chanting of the holy name, associating with great souls, attending the worship, the aarti ceremony. Each one of us has some things that we especially derive strength and satisfaction from. Taking from that strength, let me take up these other duties as an opportunity provided by the Supreme Lord to traverse that path that will take me to the eternal realm. If that is in the off position, then it's hellish. It's just Mama Maya Durat, yeah. Shesha Prabhu? I thought you were going to go a different direction with that question. Let me. Can one have attachment for fruit of activity without anger and pride? Well, Bhagavad Gita says that attachment, kamesha, is derived from contact with the mode of passion. Kamesha, krodesha, rajoguna samudbhava. Attachment to fruitive activity is the mode of passion. So when there's the mode of passion, is there going to be a freedom from those faults? No. They're concomitant with the mode of passion leads to the mode of ignorance. So if one is, one can engage in devotional service and do activity that looks like fruitive activity, but not be in fruitive activity consciousness, then it's not fruitive activity. It's Krishna consciousness. It's devotional service. Prabhupada's example of, nice example, two persons on an assembly line. The activity is the same, whatever the activity is. One is in Krishna consciousness and the other is in fruitive activity consciousness. Yes. Is that okay? Yes. Something comes. Yeah. From piety, some fruit comes, or from devotional service, some success in devotional service, some fruit comes. The simple answer, it's, you know, the application is where the problem lies. But the simple answer is you adopt the position of humble service, and you stay always in the mood of humble service.
How do you do that?
By instruction, in practice. And, you know, it's 10 minutes to nine. this is our life. The answer to this question is our life, struggling with this stuff. But the simple answer is, the instruction of our acharyas, the instruction of our spiritual master, which is the instruction of our acharyas, which is the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinadapi Sunich, you take that instruction to heart, and you abide by that instruction, and you surround yourself with the association that's conducive for that. You build your life in the quality of goodness that's conducive to that, and you stay within your heart fixed in that instruction. You cultivate it consistently, because the order of the spiritual master is your life and soul. So you cultivate it because it's your life and soul, and it becomes your quality. Find personalities in real time or in scripture that greatly inspire you, that have that quality. And meditate on those personalities. This is a quality development, you know, 2-minute response. But you meditate upon such great, just like Lakshmi was describing about Vishnu Jan Swami. And I know for Lakshmi Nisringa, Vishnu Jan Swami was a very important personality in training him in Krishna consciousness. And it's like, I've heard it from him over the years many times, different things that Vishnu Jan Swami did or said, or the example that he said, it's in his heart. So it's time, he's not able to go and associate with Vishnu Jan Swami, but he's associating with those qualities and those instructions that he had. And those are helping to bring that quality out in Lakshmi Nisringa, for example. So some persons who exemplify that selfless service within your own experience, within scripture, and you remember those persons, you glorify those persons, you offer prayers to those persons, you speak about those persons, you associate with those persons, and you develop qualities like those persons, which allows you to leave behind, you know, baggage that we carry. Is that okay? One more question? Okay, yes. Can you say that one more? Humility is the quality that is absent in the spirit of enjoyment. Humility, that which. It's not a full sentence. Humility is the quality which is absent in the spirit of enjoyment. Okay.
In other words,
nice. Yes, he did.
So that's why the impure stage, I am Nitya Krishna Das. There is no false pride or false enjoyment in the Krishna service. So then I found in the 11th canto of Krishna spoke to Uddhava, the Leela Vaishnavim Sankham, that this may be a present manifestation. I want to purify by the dust of my pure devotee. And then he says, that's why I follow the pure devotee's lotus feet wherever they go.
Yeah.
Over in the past, Srila Madhvacharya explained that the dust is going from the pure lotus feet, is covering the pure devotees, so their association, that we should purify this world. So here I find that even though Daksha had a notion of correspondence with
And Narada.
But he did not purify his heart, but Narada purified.
Yeah.
More important, the pure devotee is blessed. And just because in India, I used to see that everybody comes to temple at darshan of the deity. Even if some great Southeast they come to temple, they don't leave their mind. But they go directly to the deity.
Of course, one can go directly to that great personality and offend the great personality too. So one has to be eager. This humility point where one recognizes I'm down here, they're there. So he wasn't recognizing that with Narada, but because of Narada's qualification, that anger subsided and the opportunity to go somewhere other than offending the great soul took place. So he's answering your question also. Achieving the dust of the lotus feet of great personalities is a way to overcome the contaminations of heart. And we're going to end with that. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sita Prabhupada ki.